Terry Savage is in the studio. So how are you? Welcome back.
Glad to be here. It's good to have a full hour today. I come with a warning and some government action on that warning, but mostly let's try and get as many calls today as we can.
312-981-7200. I do want to start with this, though, and it's something you just dropped at terrysavage.com. You wrote, have you noticed how much your 401k plan has grown over the years? There's now nearly $11 trillion in these retirement plans, boosted by years of continuous investing in a bull market and by employer matches. And now, as the boomers retire, more than $1 trillion every year is up for grabs as 401k plan participants decide to roll over that money to continue to grow tax-deferred. That torrent of money seeking a new home has generated a boom in rollover advice. What are people saying? What's the advice that they're all getting?
Oh, they're all out there saying, here, I can help you. You don't know what to do. I mean, you had these five choices inside your 401k plan, but now you're going to roll it over. Let me be your, quote, financial advisor. Let me help you decide. They may even use brokerage firms or funds from well-known places like Fidelity and Vanguard, or they use, oh, we've got a wonderful product for you. It's an annuity. Then you immediately think, oh, great, annuity. It's for, something for life. Absolutely. And not only that, you won't lose any money. Oh, that's really what I want for my rollover because I don't want to lose. I can't afford to lose any money. And you're going to get the upside of a portion of the stock market. They have to be very careful how they say that. And it's called an equity indexed or an equity linked annuity. And the Department of Labor just came out with a rule that will severely impact how they can give that advice, and the money that will be saved by consumers is estimated in the billions. It's something I've been warning about.
How is the rule going to save us billions?
Because it will require anybody. It's called the new fiduciary rule. According to the Council of Economic Advisors, the sales of just this one investment product, fixed index annuities, suggests that conflicted advice could cost savers up to $5 billion a year.
How so?
Now, that's not just me saying to you.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, if you're going to invest in the stock market, and if you're just rolling over at age 65, 66, 67, you've probably got 30 more years to live. So you need some exposure to the market, but you should get all of the exposure for the market. So 40% of the overall return of the stock market is in dividends that are reinvested. So
those annuities only participate with
sometimes they don't give you, they give you the stock market from point to point, but they don't give you the dividends. So if you're going to invest in stocks, do it in a low cost way, an index fund. Take some of the risk because over the long run, there's never been a 20-year period, just according to Morningstar, where an investment in that diversified large cap portfolio, the S&P 500 index, which is surely in your 401k plan, there's never been a 20-year losing period, even adjusted for inflation. And then do some more conservative things. But what these products do is line the pockets of the salespeople. And proof of this, there's a new fiduciary rule would require that all of those costs and tricks inside these products be fully disclosed, a real huge transparency issue. And the fact is that this is going to impact their business, so the industry has already sued the Department of Labor. Now imagine this. The big financial services industry, the ones with all the big buildings, are suing the Department of Labor for saying you have to fully disclose all your commissions, management costs, everything, and prove that your recommendation is in your client's best interest. Wouldn't you think that would be the mission of, that's my mission, wouldn't you think it'd be the mission of the financial services industry? No, it's to sell very costly products that look, I mean, they make it look so good, I understand why you fall for it. It's taken me years to really understand how they make so much money against your best interest. And I'm picking a fight out there now. I've said this
a little
before,
bit.
And I was just told recently I was in an industry newsletter Terry Savage is saying, don't do equity-linked annuities, and we have to get her to the effect of that.
Yep.
But that's the Savage truth, and that's what you get from me.
Okay, but I will insert this. We have to pause, and you can comment on that, and we'll also take calls. And that is, I think, some of the quote-unquote services that people are paying for are services that they aren't comfortable accomplishing themselves.
Sure, but know what you're paying for. Understand, nobody's doing you a big favor. They're getting paid. And that's the whole idea of this rule.
But
know what you're paying.
Fine, but you may be comfortable paying for it. You may say, okay, I'm happy to pay for this because
then,
otherwise I'd screw
it up. Then the industry should disclose
it. But the problem is transparency.
Exactly.
All right, Terry, we're going to go to calls and texts. You ready, or what else you want to say?
I just want to follow up on that. 401k plans are a terrific idea. And in fact, I just finished doing a podcast on our Friends Talk Money podcast that I do with my pal, Pam Kruger, founder of WealthRamp, who leads you to fiduciary advisors who don't sell this stuff because they're fee-only advisors, and with Richard Eisenberg, formerly head of PBS Next Avenue. We just did a podcast. It just got posted yesterday on friendstalkmoney.org. There's a link on my website to our podcast. And it's about how 401ks started out to give employers got benefits too. They didn't have the old-fashioned pension funds, but started in the early 1980s to give employees a chance to make decisions, build. And over the years, we the industry, educated people, sign up for the plan, the employer will match. And those were great plans. Now, over the years, some plans are not such great plans. They have high cost fees. They were the business owner's brother-in-law sold him the plan, and it had funds in it that directed fees back to the salesman and so forth. So we've always known that 401k plans themselves are not all equal and wonderful. They don't all match the same. They don't all charge the same thing on the funds inside the plan. And the Department of Labor actually has a place where you can file a complaint if you think that your 401k plan is full of fees and not good choices of funds. Of course, you'll probably get fired when they find out who did the complaint. So not too many people take advantage of it. And over the years, plans have, at first they couldn't tell you anything. Then they gave you safe harbor funds like target date funds and so forth. And in recent years, inside the plans, the employers have said to the people that run the plans, the financial companies, yeah, give them some advice. So that's a target of the Department of Labor, but the real target now is this $1 trillion a year. I'm retiring. I should do a rollover. If you go to terrysavage.com under columns, put the word rollover in. You'll see a column I wrote about a year and a half ago, how to do a direct rollover. You don't need a broker. You don't need an advisor. Roll it to Fidelity or Vanguard. They're low cost. Divide it up this way, and you'll be fine. And now comes a report that Morningstar estimates that plan participants could save $55 billion over the next 10 years in fees inside the plans, because this new law applies to advice given inside the plans, the plans that don't have good funds and so forth. And an additional, in rolling over into annuity products, could save another $32.5 billion over the next 10 years if they didn't fall victim to these sales pitches these products.
But the savings doesn't happen because the law gets passed. The savings happens because people then say, wait, I don't like this product.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to buy an index fund, and I'll have some in a money market fund, some in a balanced fund, and some in the S&P 500 fund. And the impact of even 1 or 2 or in many cases 3% eating away at your money every year over the years of your retirement is enormous. So when you're rolling over, don't go to the free lunch. There is no free lunch.
That's very good. Jim, you're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. What can we do for you, Jim?
I'm wondering about the difference in the spread between Fidelity's S&P 500 and Vanguard's S&P 500. Fidelity's is $178 a share, and Vanguard's is at 400 and something. But they both say they're giving an annual return about 27%. Why?
Historically or of late?
No, wait. We haven't had a 27% return in a few years on the S&P 500.
Well, yeah, I just looked at the Chicago, and that's what they're saying.
That might have been over a certain period of time.
Well, yeah.
For the year.
The S&P 500, I'm trying to remember what it was up last year. I think it was 18%? I can't remember. I can Google that right now.
Well, let's go back to the previous point, which is how is it two index funds sound?
It's not the price of the shares of the index fund that you're comparing. First of all, they both charge in the realm of 7, 8, 9 basis points. It's just the cost infinitesimal for getting the diversity. So the price of the shares doesn't really matter because they both track the index. Okay? It's just
how much money they're requiring you to
put in. That's like if a stock is $200 a share and it splits, and now it's $100 a share, it's still the same.
You're not getting more shares for the more expensive one.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not the way you compare. And each one of those index funds tracks the performance of the S&P 500, including dividends, for the year. And it depends on whether you're going year to date or from year end last year to year end this year or over the past 10 years. I don't quite know what you're referring to, but I'll tell you what, go to terrysavage.com, go to my Ask Terry blog, post a link to what you're looking at, and then I'll respond on my blog.
Before we go back to calls, you wanted to say what?
Yeah, let's go back. I got kind of blindsided by the last question. Jim, who's talking about huge percentage gains. You remember this because when someone's trying to sell you something, it's all in where you start and where you finish and whether what numbers they're talking about.
He was talking about an S&P fund that appreciated 47%.
What's this? We all know the Dow's 38,000, 39,000. It's kind of a familiar level. Yeah. Most people don't know the level of the S&P 500. But back on, I'm looking at a chart now, in October 26th, the S&P was 4,117, it got as high this year as 5,254, so it's a huge gain, and today it is 5,177, so 1,000 points, at roughly 25% gain.
Yep.
So when you're talking performance, I'm looking at the Vanguard. Let's look at the Fidelity S&P 500 fund.
If you go back 5 years.
The average annual return for 1 year, just 1 year going back from today, is over 22%. Over 3 years, because we had that bad year 2 years ago, remember when bonds and stocks went down, the average annual return is 8%. Over 5 years, 13%. But watch this. I looked up something.
You're talking about the S&P.
The S&P.
Yeah,
so it depends. Are you talking about a year ago today to today, year to date? Are you talking about the full year 2023 or 2024? People can give you such crazy things. But let me tell you that last year, I wanted to find the exact result. Over the last 10 years, 87% of managed funds, large company funds, underperformed the S&P 500. 82% for 1 year. The last year, 59, almost 60% of funds managed mutual funds, the ones in your 401k, underperformed the S&P 500, which is why consistently you've heard me say you don't have to beat the market. Just be there. Just buy the S&P 500 fund. You don't have to beat it. It does very well, double-digit annual returns over time, never a 20-year losing period, even adjusted for inflation. And stop playing games with the numbers or letting people con you by playing games with return numbers.
I don't know what the time horizon was where the guy found 47%. You could probably generate if you just went back to a certain date.
I have no idea from the lows of...
Well, that's what
knows?
I'm talking about.
Okay.
This is Jay. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Terry. I had a question relevant to what you guys are talking about. I got another year or two of work, and I've slowly been rolling over stuff from my company 401k to a self-directed IRA at Schwab. It's called an intelligent portfolio, and it seems to be less fee-intensive than the one I have at work. And once you get to all your – I have less than $1 million. It's like $600,000. And then once you start using it, it does the intelligent income, and it starts – dispersing it in a actuary type method. Is that a good place to be?
Well, so item one, most people are not allowed to roll out of their company 401k plan while they're still employed. So are you still employed there and you're allowed to roll it out?
Yes, and I'm still in the 401k at work,
okay.
And I'm still getting the match,
option.
But I'm starting to move $100,000 out here or there.
Yes, well, is it an option, the Schwab robo-advisor? Okay, we will only know in hindsight whether these robo-advisors who take a long-term look at history and do Monte Carlo modeling examine the probabilities and possibilities of you living, having enough money to last the rest of your life based on this investment strategy. Now, here's the thing. Part of this kind of robo-modeling says, if you do this, Joe, how much money do you want? They say, oh, I'm going to need $5,000 a month. So then they work backwards and they say, Joe, if you invest like this, we believe that you have an 82% chance of not running out of money in your lifetime. I don't know about you, but I can't live with an 18% chance of running out of my money in my lifetime. So understand what you're getting. You're getting a strategy, and we'll never know whose robo-modeling strategy was better, which is why I would say once you get retired, you have to work on an income plan, guaranteed income, Social Security, RMDs at a certain point, and figure out what risk you're going to take with the balance, the risk of not investing in the market and losing out to inflation, because the market's traditionally beaten inflation over the long run, or having enough chicken money that lets you sleep so that you can stay invested even when the market goes down. That's the whole art of retirement planning. Now, Schwab, and I compliment them on this, and there are other companies that do this, robo strategy. You can use a financial advisor who's not trying to sell you something, a fiduciary financial advisor. But the savage truth is, nobody's going to give you a guarantee that A, you won't run out of money, and B, your money will keep up with inflation. There is only one place that you can get that guarantee, and that's from Social Security. And now, of course, we're getting reports that guarantee is only good for 10 more years, you know, unless Congress does something. So there's no sure thing. That's all I'm trying to say.
I just figure everything's going to AI anyhow, and there people probably use AI models to give you advice in the first place. So if you go right to the model, you're probably getting what
they're preaching anyhow. Well, those Monte Carlo things are pretty compelling. I mean, they don't guarantee you anything. They tell you what the probability is based on what you're going to spend.
But so that's, John, you nailed it. Larry Kotlikoff, my co-author in the Social Security book, and who wrote a book, which was how I got to know him, called Money Magic, talks about the fact that that's numbers-based financial planning, but it's not economics-based financial planning. And I've learned from him over the last 3 years that the critical ingredient is not what numbers they model for you and what percentage of certainty you have, because as I said, I don't even want 15%. I don't want 10% chance that I'll outlive my money.
How are you going to get 100, Terry?
Well, it's a balancing act, but 20% is not good. And part of it has to do with what's your lifestyle going to be? What other decisions? When you said what the part about your lifestyle, there are a whole lot of planning decisions that go into it. It's not just, I have $1 million, I'm rolling it over, I'm this year old, this is what I think I need to live on. Here's what I think the inflation adjustments are. Computer, calculate a plan that is likely to give me money for the rest of my life, at least 85-90% sure. It's more than that. It's what can I do now to adjust my lifestyle? Maybe now's the time to sell the house. Maybe now's the time to make other moves in your life. And that's holistic financial planning, as opposed to run the numbers for me and then give me some investments that you're pretty sure we'll make it happen.
Some of our listeners have questions about that Social Security, that guaranteed part perhaps of your retirement portfolio. We'll pick those up and some of your text questions as well. First, let's check more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Ferrero has cut the ribbon on its first chocolate processing facility in North America in downstate Bloomington. The company will produce chocolate for several of its brands, including Butterfinger, Crunch, and Kinder. The plant will include a 70,000 square foot expansion and will eventually include a $214 million facility to make Kinder Bueno chocolate bars. Ferrero also has a manufacturing plant on Chicago's South Side and one in suburban Franklin Park. It has two other global processing plants in Europe in addition to the new Bloomington site. Last year, Ferrero opened a new innovation center and research and development lab in Chicago's Marshall Field building. Electric vehicle maker Rivian says its net loss widened in the first quarter to nearly $1.5 billion, but revenue nearly doubled compared with the same period last year. Revenue surged from $661 million to more than $1 billion. The mixed earnings report caused Rivian shares to drop. The company makes pickups, a crossover, and electric delivery vans at its plant in downstate Normal. Rivian reaffirmed its production target of 57,000 vehicles this year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And the business of food now. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. It's Farmer's Market time in Chicago again. A few have been open and operating. More are coming, including one that a lot of people have been waiting all winter for.
We have won 5 years in a row, the best market in the city.
More about that market after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, the best farmer's market in the city, according to Chicago Reader, is the Logan Square Farmers Market. Here's Nilda Esparza of the Logan Square Chamber of Commerce.
So the market begins May 12th. We kick off every Mother's Day weekend every year, and we run for 24 Sundays through October 27th, except Sunday, June 30th. We will not open on that Sunday.
Yeah, that's because it's the same weekend of the Logan Square Arts Festival, and they don't want to close too many streets. And the Farmers Market has moved this year south.
From West Logan Boulevard to North Kudzee Boulevard. So we are in a new location for the first time in 16 years.
Lots of vendors are scheduled to show up.
So this year we have anywhere between 120 and 124 out every Sunday.
And along with all the fresh local veggies and fruit and meat, the Logan Square Farmers Market is known for dishing out a healthy serving of love.
In the last year and a half, we've brought about 1,000 singles together, and we are matching people. Couples are still together, believe it or not.
Which brought a nickname for the farmers market.
It was called the Horny Market. They refer to us as the Horny Market. And so this is kind of where this whole singles event came about. And so we've been hosting those for the last year. And they've been very popular. People keep asking for them, so we keep doing them.
And good news if you're on the downhill side of 50.
We're actually getting ready to host the senior singles event, so look out for that. We're bringing seniors together as well.
So if you're looking for fresh, locally grown food or something else, the Logan Square Farmers Market is back on Sunday, Mother's Day, at a new location on Kedzie. On the food calendar, it's National Coconut Cream Pie Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
I have the option to take a lump sum payout or annuity for my retirement fund. You got any advice?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's a big question. There's two answers to that. The first is kind of a philosophical answer. The second is a practical. We don't know that we don't have this person's name, do we?
No.
Or this is a text.
269. Yep.
Okay. Well, I wish you were on the phone because I'd ask you how much you have to invest, when you want the income to start, what your age is, what your gender is, and I assume you live in Illinois, maybe you're Indiana. If you plop that information into a website called immediateannuities.com. immediateannuities.com and say, this is my age, this is this, and by the way, I want it, it's just for my lifetime, not my spouse. It will give you real-time, real quotes, actionable quotes from a variety of insurance companies so that you know, number one, is this monthly payment that they're giving me a good deal or not? Because you could compare. Is that $2,412 right, or are there five insurance companies that'll give me $2,700, $2,800, $2,900? Right away, you know that's not a good deal. But the second issue is your choice is not just to take an immediate annuity, it's probably to roll it over, and then you have the investment responsibility. So part of it is, how comfortable do you feel making that decision? I'm not going to let you fall into the hands of the salespeople that are giving you all these other ideas that make them money. So you're going to have to say, okay, I'll roll it to Fidelity or Vanguard or T. Rowe Price, and I'm going to asset allocate, and I'm going to always keep 25% in the stock market S&P 500 fund. And even when the market goes down, I'm not going to be scared because I have some in my money fund. If you can take on that responsibility, then you have a better chance of beating inflation over the long run, because if you get an immediate fixed annuity, this immediate fixed annuity, not the linked ones with the stock market,
right,
but your company offers you a check a month for your life, you first have to decide, is that a good deal? Could I get a better check a month for life from another insurance company? And the second thing is, could I probably do better, have more flexibility, and to have the discipline to stick to my own plan?
If you did it on your own.
If you did it on your own.
I have a 401k, Terry, through work, and they charge a plan administration fee of 0.5% annually. So if I have $200,000 in the 401k, they're charging $1,000 a year for this fee. Is there a way I can avoid paying the plan administration
fee? No, but you could anonymously send a letter to the company or the HR department.
That's negotiable. You can complain
about it. No. But they should be. It's the responsibility of the HR department to, or the compensation committee of the board, if it's a public company, to negotiate lower fees. Half a percent is a little bit borderline, but if it's a big company and they have lots of employees, that's too much. But if there are only 32 employees in this company, maybe that's not so horrible.
What about Richard? You're on WGN. Richard, you're on with Terry Savage. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was calling, does Life lack a good resource to secure a possibly compromised Social Security number?
No, well, the first thing you want to do is freeze your credit report. A LifeLock will, those companies don't do anything you can't do on your own except for one thing. They will help you if your credit is compromised. They'll help you deal with all the issues that arise. But go to terrysavage.com on the homepage. There's a box on the right-hand side. Scroll down a bit called Identity Theft. Do this. It gives you links to all three bureaus to freeze your credit so no one else can open new credit in your name. By the way, I should have started out by saying this. Everybody's Social Security number is compromised. Every single person in this listening audience, I could say that without doubt. There have been so many breaches of so many things. It's like a smorgasbord for the dark web to find you. So,
freeze my credit, then that makes it more difficult for the bad guys to...
When you freeze your credit, nobody can take out new loans, open new accounts in your name. That doesn't relieve you of the responsibility of dealing with your existing places where your credit could be. Now, you can't change your Social Security number. Really, you can't. It's almost an impossibility. So what you have to do is change your passwords to every online account you have. Keep watching, go to your bank website where your credit cards are listed. Keep watching every day to make sure nobody's used your existing cards to buy anything.
Yep.
That's basically the best you can do is stay on top of it.
Last time this came up, I did that. I went to those three bureaus and I did it.
Remember your PIN and write it down in a safe place.
Yeah, boy. I'm going to need that to open them back up, is
yes,
what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Memo to self. I have a Roth IRA valued at $11,000 and a 457B plan valued at $135,000. I recently retired, and I wonder if I should move those to a Roth.
When you roll over your 457, you're going to create a huge bump in income. And if you're getting Medicare, now 457, you might not be on Medicare, but if you are getting Medicare, your premium will jump dramatically for 2 years following that huge bump in income. So if you're going to do a conversion, you might want to do it a little bit at a time. The idea would be to pay the taxes on it now. It's all going to come out as ordinary income, unless you think, gee, my income's going to drop so much, which was the original idea of a tax-deferred retirement plan, 401k, 403b, 457. If your income's going to drop and you don't think tax rates are going to rise, then you might as well just take out the required minimum distributions later.
Don't pay
in
the
life.
Tax now when your
I hate
rate
to
is
pay
high.
Taxes now, especially if you believe your income.
The Roth is a good thing if your income is low.
The Roth is a great thing for your 20s and your 30s. Yep. If the government keeps its promise, you don't need a tax deduction now. You're not earning that much. Let it all grow and come out tax free.
Ding ding ding.
Oh, sorry. I'll be back. Am I invited back next week?
No, I'm going to give the advice. And then we're all really in trouble.